Carla, please call the next item.
Item 62, authorize the commissioners in charge of the Bureau of Environmental Services or designee and Portland Parks and Recreation or designee to execute agreements for the planning, design, construction, and maintenance of watershed restoration projects in partnership with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and other partners.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you very much, Madam President. Colleagues, each of us set priorities and goals for each year. And two of my priorities are to lead an effort to convert brownfields to productive use, particularly in areas that have experienced the negative consequences of vacant land that's polluted, and to do so with an equity lens that ensures that there's a community benefit when we make these transitions. And the second priority I have is to continue to build on an extraordinary partnership which we have with the Army Corps of Engineers, which allows us to welcome juvenile salmon back to the city and meet some of our obligations under the Endangered Species Act. This is one of the shining examples of what partnership looks like, and I'm very pleased to introduce this ordinance, which lays forth the next series of steps in the Willamette Salmon Restoration Projects and help us move forward to recover salmon that are protected under the Endangered Species Act. Now, sometimes we're asked, what's the benefit of restoring our rivers for salmon? Well, in addition to the fact that we're required to under federal law, what we're also doing is restoring our waterways for people. Not only are salmon integral to our cultural heritage, but the health of salmon is one of the clearest indicators of water quality and healthy rivers. Now, we have a lot to do, left to do in our community, but we're building on a record of success, and we have a unique record of collaboration with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers on salmon restoration, deploying their construction expertise and in securing substantial federal dollars to move these projects forward. Just this fall, I had the opportunity with community partners to celebrate the completion of our most recent collaboration, which is the construction of a salmon subway at Oaks Bottom Wildlife Refuge. That restoration project reconnected the river and the wildlife refuge for the first time in a century to benefit juvenile salmon and many other wildlife species that rely on Oaks Bottom. The Parks Bureau manages Oaks Bottom. Environmental Services led the project management, and the Corps managed the construction. That's what deep collaboration looks like. Before Oaks Bottom, the same partners restored Crystal Springs Creek, a project that Commissioner Fritz had a big hand in. And just this winter, a city engineer who helped design the culverts at Crystal Springs was out on a Sunday run when he looked down at the creek from one of the culverts, and he saw a pair of salmon spawning and captured it on film. These projects are working at a very high level, and we can be very proud of them. We now have a unique opportunity to seek federal funding for a package of five new restoration projects under WRDA, the Water Resources Development Act, a little-known acronym, but for Portland, a fantastic opportunity, and thanks to our congressional delegation for keeping the eye on the ball, and we'll be hearing from Caitlin Lovell in a moment, and I understand she's getting on a plane either today or tomorrow to go back to D.C. to do some additional lobbying. So I'm going to introduce Caitlin Lovell, the Environmental Services Science Integration Division Manager and a great champion for this project, and Emily Roth, Portland Parks and Recreation Senior Planner, who is also a great champion. They're here to give us a brief presentation. And colleagues, before I turn to our guests, I have a substitute that I want to hand out, if you could pass this down. The substitute that I'm furnishing you has some modifications made by staff to tighten up the language, and also has a change or two proposed by Commissioner Fritz. And I would ask that this substitute be seconded so we can lay it on the table.
Second.
So, Madam President, the substitute is now on the table, and I'm going to turn the presentation over to Caitlin. Welcome.
Good morning, Commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you today about the Lower Willamette River Environmental Dredging and Ecosystem Restoration Project, a project that will benefit native salmon, trout, lamprey, tribal fishing opportunities, amphibians, reptiles, migratory birds, and mammals. This mouthful is the official federal title of the project. However, here in Portland, we use the shorthand Willamette Salmon Restoration Projects. We are creating salmon sanctuaries and tributaries throughout the city, but the Willamette River really is the silver bullet we need to recover salmon in the city to earn the title Salmon City USA, where we bring science and people together to create a salmon culture that defines Portland. We started with the CSO, and this is our next big investment. This time, we have the Corps of Engineers to help. The project, the Corps views it as a single project with multiple parts. It was originally conceived as a possible restoration project for Portland Harbor. The Corps actually concluded that we needed it on an independent trajectory. They started out by analyzing 45 projects. Ironically, two of those projects included Crystal Springs and Oaks Bottom. So we were getting ahead of them. They ultimately selected five projects based on their cost effectiveness. Those five projects are replacing the culvert under Highway 43 at Tryon Creek, which would open up all of Tryon Creek to salmon for the first time since that culvert was constructed. Reconnecting Oaks Crossing adjacent to Selwood Riverfront Park. It's sort of a mini Oaks Bottom project, a sibling project. The BES plant, there's a wetland next to the BES treatment plant that would be reconnected to the Columbia Slough. Kenton Cove is a small alcove in front of Portland International Raceway that would be restored in stream and revegetated, and then some side channels at Kelly Point Park. This package of projects was approved by Congress and signed by the President in 2016. We are awaiting federal appropriations. All total, the project would improve 74 acres of habitat, add 2.7 miles of restored stream, and result in 1,430 habitat units. I know that's a vague term. It is what the Corps uses to measure the benefits. In total, it would cost $30 million, and that was in 2015 dollars. This package represents the fourth partnership with the Corps of Engineers. It is the largest and by far the most complex, but we've many lessons learned from our past partnerships that position us both to succeed. BES served as the non-federal sponsor in the Columbia Slough, while BES and Parks jointly served as the non-federal sponsors in Crystal Springs and Oaks Bottom. As Commissioner Fish stated, these projects have been great partnerships for salmon and are a welcome example of a federal program where we've been very successful in securing substantial federal funding, about $15 million to date. Salmon are the primary indicator of a clean and healthy river, and a healthy environment supports a healthy community physically and economically, and these projects serve as prime educational opportunities throughout the city. I would like to note, however, that it's possible that not all of these pieces will be built. There's still a lot of design work to be done, and depending on the Corps' timeline and funding, both Parks and BES will need to agree, especially on when and how to proceed with Oaks Crossing and Kelly Point Park, both because of potential funding availability as well as potential changing site conditions. The role that Portland plays in this is as the official non-federal sponsor. Our obligation is 35% cost share, and in this case that is estimated to be a little over $10 million. And our primary responsibilities include securing the actual sites, doing the permitting, pre- and post-project requirements. A key effort is securing partnerships, and I'd like to call out here in the audience today is the Johnson Creek Watershed Council Executive Director, Daniel Newberry, who is a key partner in the Crystal Springs projects, and Mike Houck with the Urban Green Spaces Institute, who was a champion for decades for the Oaks Bottom project. They will be joining us after this presentation. While Congress has officially approved the project, they have not yet allocated funding. So much like we're asking you today to give us the authority to enter into agreements with the Corps, you will retain the ability to approve budgets annually. You will also retain the ability to approve our federal agenda annually, which would include requests for funding. We are working currently, as Commissioner Fish said, with the Office of Government Affairs to influence this year's federal budget to get us started on the design work and ultimately construction. Of the 35% cost share that we have, it is estimated that the value of our lands, easements, and rights of ways would account for $9.3 million of that. So the actual financial outlay would be satisfied through work in kind and cash, and we estimate it to be less than $2 million for all five projects.
And colleagues, in your red line version of the substitute ordinance at paragraph 11, we've made clear that the vast majority of the city's estimated cost is satisfied by through a credit through the value of lands, easements, and rights of way. So our actual out-of-pocket cost in terms of the overall projects is extremely modest. And again, we would come back to council through the normal budget process and through the normal order to seek authorization for any expenditures going forward.
Commissioner, presumably staff time would count into the remaining $2.5 million?
Yes.
I think it does,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's been very valuable. The federal share of this would roughly be about $19.6 million. So what we need from you today is approval for the authority to enter into these agreements with the Corps and other partners to execute these projects. We are not asking you to bind future councils. We will be coming back annually for budget approval. The types of agreements that need to be quickly executed or amended include things like the Corps' project partnership agreement, real estate agreements, access agreements, such as the one we entered into with Dick Samuels for the Oaks Bottom project, and many other elements of the project that the city leads in order to keep the project on time and on budget. This authorization gives the directors of BES and Parks the authority to enter into these agreements, but those cost agreements are dependent on council-approved budgets. Thus, we are not asking to bind future council. This is just a recap. We are federally approved but awaiting appropriations. We can, through this authorization, enter into some preliminary work, such as access agreements, some survey, and some geotechnical work. BES has approved the funding in its five-year capital budget. That will be coming to you as part of the budget process. And as I mentioned, BES and Parks will annually seek funding for these. So this is not new. This is actually a renewal of an authorization that Council granted to us earlier in 2010 that we used to successfully complete the Crystal Springs and the Oaks Bottom project. So I just want to touch on those two projects really briefly. The Westmoreland 206 partnership with the Corps replaced three culverts at Southeast Umatilla, Southeast Tenino, and Southeast Tacoma. It created the Brandon Natural Area, and most visibly, it transformed Westmoreland Park into a new playground for salmon and people. And Emily is here to talk about the Oaks Bottom project.
Thank you. Good morning, Council. As you heard from Commissioner Fish, the Oaks Bottom project reconnected the Willamette with the Oaks Bottom Wildlife Area, Wildlife Refuge. This took 10 years of planning, and in short, finally, we were able to upsize the culvert under the Springwater Trail and Railroad, remove a mini dam, recontour the channel, and restore native vegetation. Our relationship with the Corps started with a 2011 ordinance. And because of all the changes and the stops and starts, we were able to be nimble with the Corps as they changed authorities and funding sources. It was a stop and start project. And with all of that happening, it allowed the city to fill the gaps because we were flexible. We were able to negotiate directly with Dick Samuels for a 30-day railroad closure while the Corps and the contractors could use that to haul. Similarly, as you may have heard, we had to close the Springwater Corridor for 4 months. But because of our outreach and public involvement, we were able to fill those gaps and have detours and keep all of our commuters going. Our fish experts also conducted the fish salvage, an effort to save fish and aquatic animals in the project site and transport them out of the construction zone. Because of all of the existing agreements in place signed by our director, this work was categorized as work in kind and counted towards our 35% cost share. We will also be having a nice viewing platform that will be built along the Springwater that's happening in April as part of the project, a big recreation boost. We are excited about the prospect of adding more projects like Oaks Bottom to the Willamette River, to continue moving forward for a clean and healthy Willamette for people, fish, and wildlife. And we rely on these authorizations to be able to continue our financial advantage partnership with the Corps. I also just want to note that ultimately, the reason we have been so successful at the national level in competing for these projects and in the urban environment with the Corps is because Parks has an excellent record for protection and stewardship of these lands, and a long-term commitment and stewardship in parks, that we can be good stewards to these new investments. Without that baseline excellence and the confidence of future success, we wouldn't be able to attract the Corps, nor would we be competitive, especially in an urban area.
Thank you. That's the end of our presentation. If you have any questions?
Well, we have two invited guests, so should we bring them up? Is Mike Houck here? Mike's here, and we also have our friend from the Johnson Creek Watershed Council. So, gentlemen, if you would come forward. This is our invited panel. Thank you both for being here.
Can you make me go first?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you, commissioners, for this opportunity. The Johnson Creek Watershed Council has a lot of overlap in mission with Bureau of Environmental Services and what they are doing in the streams around Portland. In particular, in Johnson Creek, we work a lot on fish passage, too. A lot of the projects that you've just seen are about opening up new habitat that fish are not, salmonids are not currently able to get into. I just want to point out that one of the reasons that we are doing, in our organization, we're doing this kind of work is to provide ecosystem resilience with climate change. As we're seeing, streams all over the Northwest are getting hotter and hotter. And one of the big strategies to try to combat that and to make sure that we continue to have salmon is to open up cold water habitat that's currently blocked by culverts. So I would just like to go on record to say I really support this partnership with the Corps of Engineers that will allow additional cold water habitat to be opened up to salmon. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Good morning. My name is Mike Houck. I'm director of the Urban Green Spaces Institute, and I can be very brief. I will start out by saying that I'm very excited about the work at Oaks Bottom Wildlife Refuge. I actually got involved with Oaks Bottom 49 years ago, literally almost a half century, when the city was actually contemplating filling Oaks Bottom for a motocross course and a number of other uses that we were not very excited about. So it's taken 49 years. I'm grateful I don't have to wait for another 49. The fact of the matter is city staff in Parks and BES have done amazing work over the years, but a lot of it's been around the edges simply because there haven't been the resources that have been needed for truly heroic efforts like Oaks Bottom and these other projects you've heard about. So the only way we are really going to have a major impact on improvement in the Willamette and its tributaries is by partnering with the Corps and other parties. So I'm just hopeful you'll approve this and we'll move forward on these five projects. I will point out, however, I also got involved with Ross Island in 1979. Council was on the other side of this room when we were talking about trying to protect Ross Island and the herons that utilize Ross Island. It's been a long time coming. The responsibility for Ross Island sand and gravel to do restoration will be relatively minimal compared to what could be out there. And it's not on the list, but I would urge the city to consider making sure that Oaks Bottom, Ross Island, the Ross Island Archipelago, the Four Islands, and Holgate Channel be viewed as an ecological unit. And in the future, we have an effort with the Corps and other partners to truly have one of the most amazing in the middle of the city ecological systems in the country. And I would hope that the Corps be brought into that effort as well.
Thank you for that, Mike. And I did get your extensive email and materials, so thanks for furnishing that to us.
Great. Thank you.
That concludes our presentation, Madam President.
Carla, is there any testimony?
Yes, we have four people signed up. The first three are Edith Gillis, Maggie, and Charles Bridge Crane Johnson.
Please come up. You have 3 minutes. Please keep your testimony relevant to the item at hand. And don't forget to state your name for the record.
Good morning. Welcome. My name is Edith Gillis, and I'm coming to you with a lifelong calling and passion reflected in my first degree is at University of Oregon in field biology, recreation park management, and education. I strongly support the general concept of this, and I'm also strongly encouraging you to pay attention to including citizen scientists as a volunteer for BARC. I was able to protect the safety of our drinking water by stopping a timber sale when I found a very rare, endangered, small animal-eating plant colony. We have to let the folks know it's not just about saving fish and making nice little parkways for the rich white folks to raise their property values and our tax income. We need to have healthy fish because through them they're bringing the marine nutrients to our trees and forests that we need to have in order to comb and attract the clouds in which we have to manage the safe, healthy precipitation that we need for our drinking water, for our air purification, and for our safety, fire prevention, etc. So we really need to let the public know why what you're doing is important for all classes, cultures, income, and recreation interests. It's the best way to invest our funding if we really engage the public in transparent, timely ways to get our information and feedback. I've been able to solve problems that would have saved us billions of dollars, and other times I wish I had known in time that I could have saved us billions of dollars, as well as having us volunteers. I love working with Solve and others in order to restore our waterways, and congratulations on this good concept. Let's watch the follow-through and the details.
Thank you. Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson, and as Edie alluded to, it was also mentioned directly in the presentation that the situation for salmon, their return, is indicative of actually a healthy environment for all of us. I don't know how thoroughly other people have had a chance to review this agenda item online. It comes with an additional 70-page exhibit. And I think perhaps the best argument in favor of you all voting for this is the fact that Bob Salinger is not here, Columbia Riverkeeper is not here, etc. So it looks like between the BES and the Corps of Engineers, you have... If these 70 pages don't specifically spell out a big role for NGOs and nonprofits, at least the process has happened where the most diligent and committed and often paid even less than the lowest Water Bureau employees or BES employees, people at perhaps even Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission have become aware of this. There's no objection here. So let's get to work on repairing and protecting our bioregion. Thank you.
Thank you.
As a fan of Rachel Carlson, I think we need to listen to our environmental scientists and realize that even if we lose one thing in the system of an ecosystem, it's like a domino. Everything falls. So as long as the Corps of Engineers are building things up to support the ecosystem, I'm all for it. And I'm all for consulting our environmental scientists and engineers about protecting all life. Thank you.
Thank you, Mandy.
I didn't use up all my time. I wanted to quickly say that this project, if managed properly, attending to the details, is also much better for emergency preparedness and disaster resilience.
Thank you.
And the last person who signed up is Jean Conmet.
Left.
Is Jean here?
She left.
All right, we're going to close the list and allow Mr. Lightning to give testimony.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Superhumanity. I didn't hear anything on what we would do with the contaminated dredging materials and if you have a location to actually take that to. Because as you know from my position, I have a real problem with projects being done and they take it to the center of the river in another location and dumping those contaminated dredging materials at a different location. So if that's what you're planning to do, I'm absolutely against any of this. So issue number two is that...
Can I just address that?
Yeah, if you could address... Thank you, sir.
We're not doing dredging. We're changing culverts and other water flows in order to promote safe places for juvenile salmon, but this does not. This is dredging and the work that's going to be done on the river through Superfund is not part of this plan.
Okay, and I'll respond to that. Ross Island was brought up also in other locations by some of your speakers, so that's why I said dredging. And on your presentation, it also said dredging on your presentation, so that's why I brought that up. That's a big concern to me on where those contaminated materials go. And the reason why I say that, in my opinion, submersible land is owned by the state, controlled by the state, and it's their responsibility. But I'm not hearing really where the state will be adding money and how much money they will be adding. Now, I do agree on the federal government stepping in, and also when we're talking dredging the Superfund site is very necessary, but in my opinion, the point brought up on the climate change issues, which I think was a very good point you brought up, and as you know, the people sitting in this room, we're looking at a very serious situation this year on the snowpack itself, and we're looking at a very serious situation this summer, plain and simple. I lived on the river 12 years, lived out 750 feet from the bank on the river for 12 years, so I understand how this river can adjust and change just with the snow melt off, just with the rainfall, and you can analyze that just by standing there and looking from the bank and how that actually changes. So with 10 years of experience out on the river, I have a clear understanding on what we're going to face this summer. And again, one of the other concerns I have is I didn't hear anything about the Native Americans and on the treaties and where their position was on this. Because to me, when we're talking about the river and salmon, we basically took away their ability to make any type of income or feed their families. And we should be focusing on that as the top priority on what they think should be done, what they think should be the right thing to do, and how things should be done. And I didn't hear anything on that issue from any representatives up here besides Commissioner Hardesty. And so that's my main focus. I just want to make sure that's looked at very close and understand what do they have to say about this. Period. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that concludes our presentation, and I think we need to adopt the substitute and then take the ordinance as an emergency.
All right. Carla, please call the roll on the substitute.
Fritz.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish, for your amendments. Am I taking it that do the substitutes add the emergency? Or are you planning to add an emergency clause?
Oh, this is not an... I'm sorry. It's a non-emergency. We're fine with a non-emergency.
Okay, I just wanted to know when should I make my big speech? I've got a big speech.
Yeah, no, it's a non-emergency.
So it's now. It's now. I'm ready.
It's a non-emergency.
Okay, good. So I'll start again. Thank you, Commissioner Fish, for your work on this, for your staff in both bureaus. Thanks to Caitlin Lovell and Emily Roth, I think between you, you have decades of commitment to our watersheds and our communities and our natural areas. And a lot of the progress we've made is thanks to you two women. So thank you very much for all of your work. Thanks to Jamie Dunphy in Commissioner Fish's office and Misan Kwan in mine for work on the amendments. One of the most important to me was adding in the resolved to reflect the fact that has been Commissioner Fish's intent all along, that this agreement just applies to these particular projects. It's not a blanket or designation of authority. And so I'm very pleased to support it. Thank you, Commissioner Fish. Aye.
Fish?
Well, thank you. We're pleased to bring the substitute forward, and we got a lot of constructive feedback from colleagues and from staff. And so thanks to both. I just give you a little preview of what I'm going to say next week, which is there's a lot to be discouraged about these days in Washington, D.C., but there's this little-known program called WRDA, the Water Resources Development Act, which has become really one of our lifelines. And we are so grateful for our congressional delegation for fighting to put this in the budget and then helping us with the appropriations. And in the current Congress, we are now very well positioned with our senators and our representatives in key leadership positions. So we have a high degree of confidence, but leaving nothing to chance, we're dispatching Caitlin to D.C. to do some lobbying. One of the great joys in my life of having both the Parks Bureau and the Bureau of Environmental Services report to me is that we now have the two the two bureaus that are the lead in this effort, working together with our office to make this happen. And it's exciting. We won't see our two guests next week, but the Johnson Creek Watershed is one of our great partners. And so we thank you again for all the work that you do. And Mike Houck, for 49 years, has kept his eye on Oaks Bottom. Mike is effective because he takes the long view. And we will take up his challenge on Ross Island and the Holgate Channel, because that is a great opportunity for us down the road. I'll have more to say next week when we adopt this. But again, this is one of my priorities for the year. It is one of the shiny examples of an effective partnership between the city and the federal government. And I'm very grateful to everyone who brought this forward, Caitlin and Emily in particular. And I also want to acknowledge Jamie Dunphy in my office. Hi.
Hardesty.
I think everything's been said about how fabulous this particular partnership is. Aye.
You, Daly.
Well, I want to thank you for your presentation, and I want to thank everyone that gave testimony today. I agree with all of it. Mr. Lightning, I never know where you're going to come down on an issue, but today I have to say I absolutely concur with you. And while I can't speak to the level of engagement with tribes on this matter, I can assure you that with the creation of the Director of Tribal Relations and the hiring of Laura John, that these issues are more in the forefront of our minds than I think they ever have been.
Well said.
The guarantee of fishing rights was critical in the agreement between tribes and the U.S. government in the 19th century, which led to Native Americans ceding these lands. Giving Native Americans the right to fish at all usual and accustomed places. Fishing was critical for their subsistence, for trade, and for their religious and cultural activities. I consider the degradation of our river and endangering multiple salmon species to be a failure to honor these treaty rights and the access guaranteed by them. These treaties are not relics, and neither are Native Americans. Doing right by our river and the salmon, as well as honoring our obligations, our treaty obligations, will benefit us all, as well as the environment. So I'm very pleased to support the substitute and looking forward to passing this item next week. Aye.